All right, there we go. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The Word of God has so much to tell us about spiritual peace throughout the Old Testament and especially in the New Testament. And to me, it's very interesting that in both the Old and the New Testaments, the Bible has conjoined, like twins, spiritual peace with righteousness. Spiritual peace is always conjoined with righteousness. James tells us, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. And then a verse from the Psalms that I love to preach a message on the cross about years ago. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So righteousness and peace are conjoined throughout the Scriptures. Again, Isaiah says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. We quote in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. These verses of peace, but it goes and says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness and peace joined together again. The New Testament repeatedly teaches us that we have peace with God only through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no righteousness of our own, but through his righteousness and his atoning sacrifice, his holy sacrifice for us, we have peace with God. There is no real peace from true righteousness. I remember seeing a bumper sticker that said, no God, no peace. And then underneath it said with a K, K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. And so to have true peace, to have real peace, to have this tranquility of heart, to have this sereneness and assurance that is biblical, real, heavenly peace, we have to have a true righteousness. And so the Bible says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. But it conversely says the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So there's no peace when there's sin and the ugliness of sin. But there is peace when there's God's mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation, when we've turned away from our sins to embrace the righteousness of Christ, who he is and what he's done for us. So first of all, the traits of a peacemaker, the traits of being a peacemaker. To be a peacemaker in the biblical sense is to first know the peace of God yourself. Now, to have this peace, you must first have made peace with God. Remember, that's how they used to say you need to make peace with God. You need to give him your sins. You need to confess that you've been wicked. You need to confess that you've been rebellious to him. You've been at war with him. You've turned your back on him. That you deserve to die and go to hell. And you need to ask his forgiveness. You need to make peace with God. To have this peace of God, you must first have made this peace through the righteousness and blood of his son Jesus. You must be reconciled through believing on the son's perfect sacrifice for you and receiving his forgiveness, embracing his forgiveness of your sins. You need to believe that Christ not only died for you and rose again, but that he will forgive you and does forgive you when you call on him. Do you know the heavenly peace that God has forgiven you all your sins? Do you know that peace? Do you know that if you died today, or if Jesus came back tonight, that you'd go home to be with him? Amen. That is a wonderful peace. That's like heaven on earth. We call it assurance, but it's actually this great peace that Christ gives us in the witness of his Spirit. I love where the Bible says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I know that I'm going to heaven. Because I know what Jesus has done for me, and I believe his word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe these verses with all my heart, and they're my assurance, my peace, that even when my whole day has gone rotten, even when I've lost a dear friend, when I've lost a family member, I even embrace that peace even more, and especially how comforting it is, how great that peace is when we lose someone, to know that that person was a believer on Jesus, to know that they had Jesus in their heart. You know, to grieve for somebody that you know went to hell is tough. When I was a preacher all those years in Oregon, and a couple times even down here in California, having to preach the funeral of somebody who died without Christ, the hopelessness that others feel, and especially those who are Christians in the room, knowing that this associate, knowing this acquaintance or this friend or this family member is not going to see them anymore in heaven, it's tough. But to know that we shall see each other again, that brings a great peace. To know that we are forgiven all our sins. That though we may remember, God has blotted them out forever. He's buried them in the deepest sea, and we don't even know where that deepest part, we have an idea where it is, but we can't even fathom how low it actually goes. And then to know that God said, I've cast my sins your sins behind my back. What is behind God's back? Nothing. It's oblivion. They're obliviated. They're gone. They're annihilated. They've disappeared forever. Not in our minds, but in God's view, in His eyes. He said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So once you have this heavenly peace, and once you know that the blood of Jesus Christ has made you perfectly righteous before God, you have this assurance, the peace of your sins forgiven, the joy of knowing you have a home in heaven. If I said the name Shannon Lucid, it might sound a little bit familiar to you. Shannon Lucid stayed for several months on the Mir space station alone. Not only being the woman who stayed in space the longest, but the human being who stayed in space the longest. When asked about the great secret of her peaceful patience, as she emerged just like she had never missed anybody or anything, as she came out with the same joy and assurance that she had gone under the space station with, when she was asked about the great secret of her peace and patience, Shannon shared, I was brought up in a godly Christian home. I continued faithful to my Christ-loving, sin-hating little Baptist church. In other words, she had peace with God and therefore could practice the peace of God from her heart, though all alone in space. All the world's troubles and unrest are because of sin. There are wars, there's death, there's violence, there's pain, there's abortion, there's murder, there's homosexuality and drug abuse because of lust, because of pride, because of anger, because of idolatry, because of covetousness, because of unbelief, and because of rebellion against God. You cannot be against the Lord and have peace. It's only when you bow the knee to the Prince of Peace that you will begin to know peace. For peace to come anywhere in this world, it must first come into our hearts. Unless the Holy Spirit descends upon our heart and the Prince of Peace enters in to rule and reign, there cannot be heavenly peace. There cannot be real peace. We need to be at peace with God and then have this peace within ourselves and then endeavor to practice this peace among others. Now, once we know the peace of God within, God calls us to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Once we know His peace within, He calls us to make peace. We are called to be as lambs among wolves. He calls us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We are called to overcome evil with good, hatred with love, meanness with kindness, and to be a blessing even to our enemies. Paul wrote, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, this is an important caveat, and I want you to catch this. Let us never buy peace at the cost of righteousness or at the expense of righteousness. When King Jehoshaphat had been asked by King Ahab, King Jehoshaphat was a godly king. King Ahab was a very wicked king. And when Ahab asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you come help me against my enemies?" Jehoshaphat was tenderhearted. He said, "Sure, I'll come." And as they went unto the battlefield together to face Ahab's enemies, Ahab said, "Hey, I know, let's trick them. You wear my clothes and my crown, and I'll wear your clothes and crown." And they went on the battlefield together, and you remember what happened, right? They came after Jehoshaphat like nobody's business because they thought he was Ahab. And they nearly killed Jehoshaphat on the field of battle till he got rid of the Ahab's cloak and his crown. They noticed it was Jehoshaphat and they turned and went and got Ahab. We cannot, Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He almost died. Why? He was selling righteousness to have mercy. He was compromising the goodness of God with an evil man just so that he could have peace. We must never trade away peace at the cost. I mean, we must never trade away righteousness for the cost of peace. We may help sinners. We may pray for sinners. We may love sinners, and we should, and witness to sinners as we should counsel them. But we must never deny the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ or the righteousness of God just to barter the peace with sinners. We must stay true to our colors. We must not trim our sails to sail peaceably among sinners. We must lift up the blood and the banner and the book of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never parlay for peace at the cost of truth. Better to let peace go than to relinquish the truth. This is what the apostles did. They were the most loving, the most Holy Spirit-filled guys on the earth. But they, each of them, were killed for the faith. Because when they were commanded to recant or to stop preaching in the name of Christ or to quit telling others about Jesus, as soon as they got loose, they started it out telling others about Jesus again. They did not sell righteousness just for the expense of peace. They stood by the truth. They died as martyrs. You read about the martyrs. And if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's an updated version of it that came out for from Voice of the Martyrs, who does those things like the article back there on how the Chinese government is so afraid of Christians now they're burning their churches whenever they find them, persecuting Christians in China wherever they find them. There's an updated version of it, but just to talk of the martyrs, who so many of them were told, recant, to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can return home. You can leave prison. As long as you don't preach about Jesus, you're fine. Reminded of the story of John Bunyan. He had a little daughter named Mary. She was a blind little girl. John Bunyan happened to author the most famous book in history outside of the Bible. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. And John Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel on the streets of, Bedford, England. And so this little daughter came in. She was a little blind girl, cute as a button. And she said, "Daddy, I have great news. I have great news. The jail people just told me they'll set you free today. You can come home with me, Daddy." He said, "Is that right, sweetheart?" She said, "Yeah, all you have to do is promise you won't preach on the street tomorrow. You won't keep preaching on the street." And John Bunyan began to weep. He said to his little daughter, "Mary, Mary, I love you and Mommy with all my heart. But if they let me out of prison today, I'll be preaching Jesus Christ on the streets tomorrow." And they kept him in prison, and the paper that would come on milk carton bottles or cover the milk bottles then is where the great book, The Pilgrim's Progress, was written, on those little pieces of paper. The task of peacemaking. John Bunyan stayed true. So many other martyrs stayed true. Will you stay true You know, that's the Christian question that I've heard a lot over the years. Pastor, I don't know if all this suffering came, that I would stay true to Jesus. I said, you can know. And they said, how can I know? I said, are you living for Him today? Are you living for Him today? As long as every day you're living and walking with Jesus, you'll stay true to Him when that time comes. The task of peacemaking. The Bible says we are to strive for peace. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Again, the Scripture says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. So we are to be peacemakers. We are to seek God's peace with our neighbors, with our co-workers, and especially in our homes and our churches. Satan's main job is to seek to divide the flock and to scatter the sheep and to divide, to trouble and confuse it. And so Ephesians 4 tells us, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. It was pointed out to me by a person that was familiar with shepherdry. And this Philip Keller guy also wrote about it when his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he had been a shepherd for many years. And he wrote that sheep will not drink from troubled, noisy waters. And the Bible says, He leads me beside the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. They will not drink from noisy, troubled waters. And when asked why, the shepherds say, well, they think they see snakes in it. They think they see serpents in the water when it's troubled. And they're deathly afraid of serpents. You want to scatter some sheep, throw a snake in there. They're deathly afraid of serpents, and they'll not drink from troubled waters. And so it's hard for a church, when there's division, when there's gossip, when there's schisms, to enjoy the Word and to have peace. That's troubled. There's a serpent in it. His name is Satan. We are called to be at peace with each other and guard that peace. We are called to reconcile sinners to God. That's one of our great callings, especially as preachers and ministers. We're called to reconcile sinners to God. I like this passage from Corinthians. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He has made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Notice righteousness and reconciliation together again. This ministry of being able to not just to pray, but to tell somebody, you know, God commands you to be at peace with Him. And the only way that you can be one with Him, the only way you can be reconciled with Him is to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, pure and perfect and holy, and that He died on the cross for your sins. He took your sins on Himself, and He gives you His righteousness. You have to believe on Him, though. You have to come to Him as the sinner that you are, the rebel against God that you are, and ask His forgiveness. Ask Him to come and forgive you and to give you mercy and everlasting life, and He will. And so what a great ministry that's given to us when we have the opportunity to share God's good news, the glad tidings. You know, when Jesus was born, it said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There is born to you in this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And how wonderful it is to be able to know that we have a great and precious Savior who forgives all sins. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, if you but look to Him for His mercy and grace, you will be forgiven and you'll have God's peace. why you should be a peacemaker. As we close on the message here, why you should be a peacemaker. It is noble and honorable. Isn't it great to be an ambassador? What a great title it is to represent your country and the values of your country and the power and wisdom of your country as an ambassador. It is noble and honorable to be God's ambassador of peace to sinners, to do as that passage told you, implore them on God's behalf to believe on Jesus. You get to represent King Jesus to those who need to make peace with God. It is very beautiful in the eyes of God Almighty when you do this. He said in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good tidings of peace. The good tidings of peace. Not only that, but the passage here says you'll be called a child of God. Others will know you're God's child. God is called the God of all peace. And He's called the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit Himself is likened to a dove. The city of Jerusalem where God was to be worshipped means the city of peace. And you'll be called a child of God too as you become a peacemaker. You will grow in grace if your heart is soft. Remember the seed of the word sprang up and was fruitful when it fell into that soft soil. You will grow in grace if your heart is soft, not stony and cold and against God. As we close, you ever notice how human beings, our bodies are made for natural peacefulness? We don't have fangs. We don't have claws. We don't have poisonous bites. We don't have tusks. We don't have talons. No roar. No quills. No stingers. Nothing like that. We see them in creatures all around us, but we don't have those things. Even a bull has horns, you know. None of those things. God made you to where you would only be happy by being at peace with Him, by sharing His peace with others, by not being a vicious creature, not being a stinging, clawing, biting, pushing creature, but by being a child of grace. Do you want to be a peacemaker? Then that means you will point others who are at war with themselves and at war with others, you'll point them to the Prince of Peace. Tell them of Jesus and the peace He has given you. The assurance and comfort that you know your sins are forgiven and you have an everlasting home in heaven and you have a peace with God and God's own peace in your heart because you made peace by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.